This is the Storage Review Podcast. I'm Brian Beeler. As many of you know that follow us online or podcasts or tweets, we've been working on a virtual workstation lab here in Cincinnati that's full of HP thin clients and monitors, along with an HPE server and NVIDIA's latest GPU cards. We had a podcast a few weeks back with Luke Wignall from NVIDIA, and we talked about a lot of what we were seeing there and how we were setting up the lab and what NVIDIA sees in the virtual workstation space. And we continue that thread today with HP. Jeff Grudan, who heads the thin client business for HP, is our guest today. And we talk with him a lot about some of the misconceptions about thin clients being neither sexy nor high performance. HP has addressed both of those quite handily. And we talk about how they view the future of the thin client space and how even it could get down into the point where consumers, end users, have thin clients, though perhaps not branded that way, but more along the lines of a terminal that consumes the internet and applications that they need without having it locally on a PC. So the thin client space is exciting. We're doing a lot of testing around GPU-intensive applications here in the lab, and we'll be posting some data and results in the next few weeks around that. But for now, let's bring in Jeff and get this podcast underway. Today on the podcast, we've got Jeff Grudan, who is the VP and worldwide head of thin client for HP. Jeff, thanks for checking in with us today.
Hey, my pleasure, Brian.
So Jeff, thin client's been an interesting journey for us at Storage Review. Despite our namesake, we like to look at all parts of the infrastructure that touch storage, servers, networking, all the other infrastructure bits. And thin client is one that we've covered a lot of HP's goings on. And every time you launch a new thin client, we get a lot of great traction with it. We've invested heavily, as you know, with HP in our virtual workstation lab. And so we want to try something a little bit different with the podcast today and talk about what's going on over there. Clearly, you guys are excited about thin client, seeing a lot of growth. What's got you guys excited these days in the thin client world?
Yeah, so, you know, it's an interesting time to be in this business. You know, my view is workloads, you know, continue to move to the cloud, whether it's virtual desktops or more web-based workloads. You know, we're seeing this ongoing push to get the, you know, applications and data in the cloud. You know, there's some specific areas for us, healthcare, retail, federal government, FSI, that's financial. All of these are really showing, you know, very, very good growth. You know, as they, you know, move their application and data set into the cloud, as they deal with some of the, you know, security and other, you know, other requirements that they have in their industries, it just drives a continued opportunity for HP to go innovate on the thin client category and, you know, and serve some of those growth segments.
You know, it's interesting. One of the things that we've looked at with thin client over the years is how do we figure out what those VDI workloads look like and benchmark against them, and what are the impacts of changing storage or server cores or networking or whatever. And the bulk VDI business that I've always thought about it as things in a call center, if you go to a doctor's appointment, 90% of the time at least, they'll have the thin client on the wall with a card swiper to activate. And when we looked at those workloads, it wasn't something that we could really canonize and come up with great benchmarks from a performance standpoint, which really led us down the line with NVIDIA specifically in GPU-enabled workloads and what we call virtual workstations. And that part of the business got really exciting, which led us to build that lab with you. The growth in GPU-accelerated workloads for thin client is something we're jazzed about. Are you guys seeing significant uptake there as well, outside of just the normal VDI business?
Yeah, for sure. You know, the two areas of our business that are growing the fastest is our mobile area and our performance part of our product line. So let's chat a little bit about performance. you know, server, at the end of the day, server and graphics stuff up in the data centers, it's amazing what you can do now with some of the NVIDIA graphics and other technology. But, we continue to find that performance down at the edge is cheaper to buy performance at the edge than in the data center. And so companies are always trying to find that right balance between what do they do on the back end and what do they do at the client side. And so that's one of the reasons we developed the T730, which is one of the devices in your lab. It was really designed with the virtual workstation heavy graphics workloads in mind, and with the realization that not all of that content is going to be processed in the cloud, and a lot of that video in particular will get sent down to the endpoint to be decompressed and rendered. And so the 730 was really designed to be plugged into those use cases and complement that performance capability, because basically the endpoint and the infrastructure need to be balanced. If you don't have enough on the back end and you have too much on the front end, it just, the front end will sit idle. If you have too much on the back, it'll overrun the endpoint. And so the 730 is really designed to go maximize those, that NVIDIA GPU accelerated infrastructure and make sure that the endpoint can stay up from a frame rate and resolution perspective with all that content.
Yeah, it's been an interesting experience for us as we've started to benchmark our infrastructure. The results that we've seen on graphics heavy applications have been really quite stunning. So the performance message, I'm not going to lie, we were surprised by what we got out of the T730s, and it's been an excellent experience thus far. You hit on mobile too. So, it's interesting. I know you guys launched a couple new mobile thin clients at the end of January, earlier this year. And HP's invested pretty heavily in mobile, which is not something everyone's done. From a design UI or ID perspective, they look really great. They look like notebooks. They act like notebooks. Thin client, not to offend you, I know you've been in the business a while, haven't really been known for sexy design. Talk to us a little bit about what you're doing in mobile and how these new devices are maybe changing the perspective of what mobile thin computing can be.
Yeah. So I think it's really two ideas in there. There's the idea of mobility and the idea of design. So let me touch on those separately. So, for many years, obviously thin clients are network attached devices. So without a network, they don't do much. And so that has always, if you think about it logically, slowed the adoption of mobile in the thin client space. Over the last few years, network connectivity is becoming far, far more pervasive, combined with the fact that workloads on their own are, again, as I touched on earlier, are moving to the cloud. And so I think the comfort level people have of having a network dependent device, people are far, far, far more comfortable with that. And we're seeing people extend their desk-based thin client deployments with additional mobile devices for specific types of work groups. Now the design comment is also interesting, and you're right. We really at HP are pushing industrial design on all of our devices, and mobile is no exception. But if you think about the DNA of thin clients have come from more industrial style use cases, kiosks, factory floors, distribution centers, and warehouses, and those types of use cases. But in the last 5 years, we've seen far more thin clients be placed in call centers, offices, hospitality centers, the office suites that they have for the people that are staying there. And this divergence of we have customers that are in the industrial part of the market, and we also have customers that are putting these in front in offices and in front of customers, and they expect that beautiful design that you mentioned. So that's been one of the, I think, changes in the thin client business over the last 5 years is that more and more office-oriented use cases, that means the industrial design focus and strategy, you know, has to change and has.
So that's interesting and makes a lot of sense. The other part of that then, so if we've got the hardware that looks good and performs well, what about the software and what are you doing there? I know in our lab, the T730s we're running have Windows 10 embedded. Is that a growing part of the business? And what else are you supporting on the software side that's compelling or adds to flexibility of the systems in terms of how business would deploy them?
Yeah, sure. So we support two main areas of operating systems. One is Windows 10 IoT, Windows Embedded, and we also have our ThinPro Linux distribution as well. And you know, different customers have different approaches from an operating system perspective. Our software strategy is really focused on two critical areas. Maybe I'll call it three key areas. The first is security, which is just one of the core value props of a thin client. The additional two are, one is end user experience, and the other is manageability. So let me touch on those briefly. So at the end of the day, particularly as we push into these performance workloads we touched on earlier, there's a very high expectation around the end user's experience. They expect for their experience to feel like they've got a PC under their desk, and not that the PC is 500 miles away in a data center. And so we introduce software like HP Velocity that helps accelerate networks, HP True Graphics that helps offload video content onto hardware decoders to help drive and make sure that that end user's experience is flawless. From a manageability perspective, there's an IT component to that. IT, they want to be able to manage all these devices really efficiently. And this really shows up in segments like retail, where you have a lot of distributed sites. We have a big U.S. grocery store customer. They probably have on the order of 40 to 50,000 of our thin clients around the country. And largely, they're managed by a single person at the corporate office who does 95% of the management tasks sitting at his desk. Another is a big pharmacy, and they use our thin clients in the pharmacy area to look at prescriptions and check insurance. These are two perfect examples of using thin clients because of their reliability and their manageability in distributed locations, both to, keep the cost of ownership down, as well as to ensure you're securing all the, corporate or personal data.
Well, I was going to add to that. In the retail environment, there's a cost issue there too, right? The thin clients are relatively inexpensive versus full-fledged PCs. And I imagine in a larger environment, they would keep maybe one on hand as a swap replacement in the event of failure. Is that the case?
Yeah, I mean, some do, some don't. That's, again, the beauty of thin clients is they're not that expensive. So if you want to keep a hot one in the store, you plug it in, and that central management software for HP, it's something called HP Device Manager. It'll detect new devices and go, image them up with the very latest image. So the local guys don't have to do anything themselves. You don't need to send somebody to that store. Anything that has to happen at the store to a thin client, somebody local can do that, and then the central management software takes over.
Yeah, that's interesting. So one of the growth drivers you mentioned earlier for the business is the as a service model. And one of the funny things that we experienced is, as Kevin, who runs our test lab, has been tweeting about what we're doing in this virtual workstation environment, is a number of service providers have shown up and emailed and said, hey, that's really neat what you're doing, but look at us, look what we can do. We can deliver this whole thing as a service from, like you said, hundreds of miles away and still have that great experience. What are you seeing there as the way going forward as a service model works out for thin clients?
Yeah. So, you know, anybody who's an HP watcher, there's been a number of articles and interviews just the last week or two around HP and as a service. I absolutely see as a service as a long-term growth driver for this category. My vision or my point of view is you'll see, you know, thin clients bundled with the applications or the virtual PC and have that whole experience be delivered as a service. So both the back-end subscription plus the device all as a service, you know, and with the being analogous to your cable TV service, right, where you're paying monthly for the all the channels, you know, that's what you're consuming, but then you get an appliance device that gives you access to that, and that whole bundle is, you know, one fee a month, and that's the model, you know, I see over time, seeing the thin client business, you know, driving growth through, you know, over time. If you take a step back and you think about the growth driver for thin clients over the last 10 years, it's been VDI, so virtual desktops and virtual applications. But, you know, those are, they're complicated enough to get set up and they're expensive enough from a CapEx perspective that there is some floor to VDI. You know, once you get to a, you know, mid-sized company or below, it may not be something that they want to take on. But if you can consume all that as a service, and so you go from a CapEx to an expense model, and you don't have to go manage the infrastructure. Your service provider manages the infrastructure, but you get all the benefits of centralized applications and centralized secure data. It's always backed up. It's accessible anywhere. You can really see as a service being a enabler of all of those great cloud-based value propositions to a whole new set of customers.
One of the things that we've talked about a couple different ways as we've been chatting is around controlling the environment or putting protection around it. You talked about the retail example. One of the things we hear a lot about in the media and entertainment space, in the engineering spaces, is around IP protection and still being able to deliver that performance of a PC while being able to protect the data in a centralized location, be it hosted, you know, internally or as a service. Is that dynamic another one that you're seeing commonly out in the field?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's one of the reasons, healthcare, digital media entertainment, Fed, financial services, you know, all of those, you know, one of the things they all have in common is, you know, highly sensitive data and IP and, you know, where is that located? The digital media entertainment example is actually, it brings together a bunch of very interesting trends like that. You know, so the first is exactly as you say, you're protecting that IP. The second is that IP, those data sets are really big. And so trying to bring those data sets down to endpoints can also be very time consuming and inefficient, as well as allowing exposure of the IP, which is what they don't want. And so you get a second benefit of keeping those big data sets in a central location, where they can be more efficiently processed. The third interesting one, and it relates to IP protection, is the flexibility, the workforce flexibility. One of the biggest challenges for digital media entertainment is talent. So particularly in the animation space. So a lot of those animators don't necessarily want to go where the offices are for some of those media companies. And so if you can send that animator a T730 and they can go access and do their job from home, and all that IP still remains safe because it's centralized and it's efficient and fast because it's all on the back end where you have the big, you know, rendering engines, you really see, you know, the value in that use case. You really see the value of of cloud-based workloads and thin clients and what it can offer.
In that case specifically, I imagine one of the challenges that you have to overcome, maybe not organizationally, but to get user buy-in, end user buy-in, is that these systems can actually deliver on what they're what you're promising. So I know when we fired up all 16 of our T730s and started running some GPU-intensive workloads on them, we were, like I said before, we were surprised by the outcome. Not that I didn't think they'd be able to do it. I was just surprised at the efficiency and performance levels that they were hitting. We'll have some numbers out probably in a couple weeks on that. But yeah, it seems like it's one of those things you have to see it and touch it to believe it. And I know talking with some of our friends at NVIDIA, they've had to do some of this work too in the engineering field, where they sat someone down and said, you know, open up your Revit session and, you know, get to work on something. And, you know, they've done that. They've experienced a good performing workload with no lag. And then they tell the guy you were on a virtual virtual desktop and he had no idea. So I imagine that is, though, one of the perceived roadblocks in adopting thin client for performance workloads.
Yeah, I mean, not even just performance workloads. You know, I'd extend that to knowledge workers as well, for sure. I mean, the quickest way to crater a, you know, virtual desktop, you know, cloud-based workload, thin client deployment, is for the end user to have a bad experience. You know, they go do the POC, the end user has a bad experience. You know, it's almost unrecoverable. So, you know, we learned long ago on the thin client side is, you know, the performance we're putting into thin clients compared to 5-10 years ago is really night and day. You know, a lot of that software I talked about earlier was developed in conjunction with customers as we, you know, saw the challenges they were having. And, you know, when we think about, you know, solving an end user experience issue, you know, part of it is looking at the hardware architecture of the thin client. But, you know, to keep the thin clients both power efficient, you know, most thin clients are fanless. So, our, you know, most of our thin clients don't even have a fan. They're passively cooled. And that's one reason why they're so incredibly reliable. But if you want to stay there, you can't take a 75-watt processor. So you have to find other ways of delivering a more efficient end user experience. So that's where something like, you know, True Graphics or HP RGS, which is remote graphics software. These all came to be in addition to looking at hardware to find other ways of optimizing that, you know, that end user experience. But luckily, I think the stigma from a thin client around delivering an experience is past us. I think we've got a number of years under our belt, particularly in the 600 series and now the 700 series, where we've kind of proved the paradigm. So now we just have to keep working with our customers and make sure the devices themselves are keeping up with the workloads.
So if user experience is the number one, what are the other challenges in adoption of thin client, just generally speaking, that you face?
Honestly, I think the biggest is, one, it's getting customers that have not virtualized their workloads to virtualize their workloads. And then from there, it's building confidence that they won't need any further local-based applications. The biggest inhibitor seems to be, what if I have an application, I have a workload that does not work in the cloud, I would need to go back to a PC. So it's a really about getting working with customers on their strategic workload sort of roadmap, and when are they going to get their various workloads into the cloud, and when will that allow them to basically make that switch, which is why we tend to see the thin clients deployed at a work group level first, as they find the early adopter work groups that no longer that they have confidence won't need a local some kind of local-based application, and then usually it just kind of ripples from there.
So we've been working in a VMware environment with Horizon. I know you support Citrix and other things as well. those guys have done some neat things with, I know on the Horizon side with Blast and Citrix is working on optimizations too. How has the advancement on the hypervisor side helped in this adoption cycle and making sure that the experience is good? I assume, you know, it's been very good for you so far, but those two specifically continue to innovate on their side as well, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. There's clearly still there's still room for tons of innovation on the protocol side. So basically, you know, sending the data up and down the wire between the thin client and the virtual machines. Both Citrix and VMware have been, you know, incredibly aggressive and very innovative in trying to deliver those experiences. And then, you know, with partners like HP, you know, we kind of try to fill in the white space. So, you know, where are there uncovered areas where we can help go optimize that experience? You know, I think for Blast is an interesting one where VMware is supporting their older protocol PCOIP as well as their newer protocol Blast. You know, I think Blast is probably one of the things that brings to VMware is a bit more flexibility around, you know, what types of devices can you use to connect to the VMware environment, and, you know, can you deploy things like unified communication? So the Blast is a bit more UC friendly than some of the other ways that they were having customers connect to their backend. So the good news is all the advancements that those guys make only help us on the thin client side, continue to expand, the market that we can cover.
Yes. So, you know, we've talked a lot about the T730, which of course we're using and loving, and the mobile thin clients. From the hardware standpoint, which is, you know, what you can control the most of, I suppose, in this environment, are you seeing a shorter life cycle for the hardware itself as you continue to innovate and come out with you know, new features like the 730 supporting up to 6 monitors? Are people that were on older systems moving up through these that are existing customers maybe differently than thin client has been in the past, where I think you've had typically a longer lifespan of systems, especially in certain market segments?
Yeah, so we still generally drive fairly long life cycles. So I think our life cycles are generally between 30 to 36 months on a thin client. And I would say most of our customers still value that longevity. That said, on mobile, where the design is a much more critical component of the value proposition, we probably refresh our mobile devices slightly faster than that. Mm-hmm. We haven't yet seen terrible pressure to accelerate refreshes in order to kind of maintain our performance advantage, but it is something in our T6 and T7 lines that we track very closely. And at the end of the day, we focus on the workloads and the utilization we're seeing on our thin clients. So we have a whole set of internal benchmarks we use that are very use case centric. So, you know, on a T730, it might be, you know, 4K revenue, 4K, you know, video streams. And we want to be able to make sure we can maintain 30 plus frames per second at certain resolutions and just make sure that, and then run Link as well, and just make sure the CPU utilization stays at a certain level, and so we try to go predict when the workloads are going to reach such a point where the devices we've got are not going to be keeping up with those workloads. So it is a bit of a balancing act between new customers that are going to want to buy the newest thing to get the longest life cycle, and our existing customers who want to keep buying for 3 years. But it's, you know, it's something I feel like we balance very well. And we generally, have led the market on the desktop thin client front around performance.
So Jeff, we're nearing the end of our time, but I want to give you one last opportunity for those organizations that are out there that are thinking about thin client, maybe they're thinking thin client isn't for them. Maybe they think it can't perform the way they want it to. Give us one last plug for the thin client, for those on the fence that could help push them towards this as a viable alternative.
Sure. So what I might say is, you know, the thin clients of 2017 are not the thin clients of 2007. I think customers not using thin clients today would be surprised at the level of performance, the beauty of the designs, the reliability of the devices, and the ease of setup and management that you can deliver with HP software stack. All of HP's software, our management software, our experience optimization software, is all included with the thin client. There's no extra charges. There's no fee for this, fee for that. You know, our feeling is when you buy an HP thin client, you're not just getting the hardware, but you're getting our full software ecosystem to enable you to get that integrated into your environment. And if your environment is purely web-based, every one of our thin clients comes with a browser. So there's nothing that's, you know, it's not just for VDI, it's not just for server-based computing. Thin clients are a super high-value, very reliable browser-based access point for any of those newer style workloads.
I would say to enhance your plug, the device manager software, we picked it up last week, and it is freely available, and you don't even have to register to go download it, I don't think. So it's you're making it easy to go out and consume some of these things from a management standpoint.
Yeah, our feeling is it's part of the value proposition of a thin client. Thin clients are designed to be centrally managed. We believe we need to give you that management tool. And it's very, very optimized for our devices, and again, very, very powerful.
All right, well, we'll be checking that out over the coming weeks and continuing to torture those T730s the best we can, as promised. So we're looking forward to that. Jeff, thanks for your time today. I think this information will be useful and help a lot of people that are evaluating thin clients, and we look forward to having more of these conversations and seeing what we can get out of that virtual workstation lab.
Great. Well, Brian, thanks for your partnership, and thanks for the time today.
I'd like to thank Jeff and HP again for participating in the podcast, but for also being a great sponsor or partner for Storage Review. They provided us with the T730s that are the bulk of the virtual workstation lab, and it's been great to work with them. And as we've ramped up our experience in the virtual workstation space. As we found on the podcast today, there's a lot in the future for thin client. HP has done a great job from both the design perspective with the desktop units, with the mobile notebook style units, and from the performance profile on the high-end T730, you know, we're seeing great results already. And while we're not using 6 monitors like you could with that particular unit, we've seen some initial benchmark performance that's been really, really fantastic with all 16 of them running at once. So expect to see more from us on virtual workstations, performance testing, application-based testing in conjunction with VMware and NVIDIA. And we look forward to being able to bring you that content. As always, follow us on storagereview.com. You can find us on Twitter at @StorageReview, and we even post to Facebook. So keep in touch, and we'll be back soon.